The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Thursday, Gary, how the heck are you?
Not good.
No?
I really wanted the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, we wanted the penalty box, too, as proposed by one of our great listeners last night.
Yeah, I really wanted the penalty because I wanted to see if they would review it. That really was... Yeah. My whole thing, 15-yard penalty for kneeling during the national anthem. All right, the coach has thrown the flag, and now there's the camera, and there's the knee. How far is the knee from touching the turf? Is it actually kneeling?
So now it's the team will get a fine if anyone kneels. Now, here's my question.
The team will get a fine, and the team can fine the player, and the players can come out. But if they come out to participate, they have to stand.
Right.
They are allowed to stay in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have to participate. Now, here's my question. Based on what we came up with last night, is it a different type of protest now? The little protest.
Yeah.
Like the peace sign down at the side, you know, your hand down at your side, and the peace sign.
No, I believe you're going to have some players that are going to say, fine.
I'm willing to give up pay for my cause.
Not that, but go ahead, find my team.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing will be the NFL finding the teams.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is you know. You teams, get your team in order and have them follow the rules and regulations. This is on you to police your own stadium is what they're saying. And so if you don't do it, we're going to fine the team. Then the team can fine the player.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it becomes is it becomes a disruption in the locker room that the coaches actually have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And you can end that quickly. We're going to fine you. So if you kneel, we're going to fine you.
Right. That's what it will come down to. But I have a feeling that, you know, it's going to be a big to-do. As we lead up to the first game, I can say, how many players will kneel? How many players will kneel? So that's going to be a big thing. As I said, my only objection, to it that caused my behavior of not just saying, well, I'm just not going to watch, was the owner's response. You know, the initial owner's response, and the owners really of the team that I root for, but they were some of the first to come out early, and we had talked about this. Kim Pakula and the Buffalo Bills saying, look, we've talked to the players about this, and what you got out of it is she was saying, look, this is about money. And so you may have a few players left, but you got new players coming in. And you and I said yesterday, money, this is about money. The business is about money, and it's about big money. You're talking about billions of dollars here. You're talking about an NFL that has said we cannot go down the same road as NASCAR. We cannot see a depletion of our audience like NASCAR has. They thought they were bulletproof. They're not.
No, they're not.
Neither are we, and we can't sit here with this arrogance and not think that this isn't going to affect our bottom line. And as Kim Pegula told the players, how this will affect you, how this is going to affect the fact that your bottom line. And you and I have talked about this a lot, about the upcoming player strike, which before this all happened, 2 years ago, before the kneeling even start, the NFL Players Association went to the players and said, start saving your nickels and dimes. Don't overspend, because when the next player's contract comes up, we're going to strike. And they're looking at it saying they're seeing this growth projection, which is through the roof of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick decides to do what he does over the next 2 years. television ratings drop, was it 17-18%?
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
I mean, they're battling
when it comes
a number
to their
things,
bottom line,
cord cutting and everything else, because
right,
you know, and so they're struggling. The point being, they're struggling on every level. They're going to have to, and I don't know how they fix it. I mean, there's some deals done now with some digital sites to carry some games. But if you still have Monday Night Football on ESPN and people no longer have cable, you know, they're going to have to, if you want to see the Monday Night game, then I guess you go to a bar or a restaurant that's showing that Monday Night game. And the point being is they're struggling to get viewers back for a number of reasons. This is part of it. And I think it is trying, it's the NFL doing everything they can to set the tone. They walked into it. They played the game. They decided they were going to play the game. They engaged, and now they're going to have to fix it. And really, this is the only option, because you can't change the rules of the game. We knew some kind of penalty for kneeling, because then you're getting in, you're changing the rules of the game.
Right.
And you really don't want to do that. And I don't know of any other choice here other than to just, let it go and then try and ignore it, or tell the teams, all right, nobody comes out to the field until after the national anthem or whatever it is. But this was their choice.
Yeah, it's a combination of both.
Yep.
Look, you can do what you wish to do,
mm-hmm.
but once on the field, here's how you will present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that simple. And by the way, I saw it again yesterday, the whole free speech issue come out from the left. Actually, there were two big stories yesterday, this and the judge blocking Donald Trump from blocking people on Twitter that are both that the left claims are free speech issues. Neither are free speech issues.
No.
The judge, in all likelihood, is going to be overturned on her thing with Twitter. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But with the NFL, there is no free speech issue here. There is no, talk show hosts have been fired by their company
mm-hmm.
before, and I'll even say radio talk show hosts, there will be, you know, their listeners will say, wait a minute, how dare you fire him? You fired him because you wouldn't let him say the things that he wished to say. What about free speech? There is no free speech, even in the job that we do. For example, if I decided today that the only thing that I was going that I made the decision that I was the king of the show, that I could tell you what to do.
You're not.
That and I said, we are only going to talk golf from now on and the intricacies of golf. And that will be
you would have no power of me over me to keep me from quitting. See, there is no free speech, right? I could shut up and walk away.
Let's talk about your putting technique today.
Well, I dare say, I don't know, baseball hasn't had much lately, but golf is one of the last remaining professional sports without major controversy. Hockey, I guess, really doesn't have any major controversies in terms of anything, you know, political. It's really been,
right.
You know, the outspoken people in the NBA, which really isn't a big deal, as we said last night.
Thanks for bringing that up. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
go ahead.
Well, I mean, just to complete the thought, I look at the sports where, like the NBA, we talked about this last night. LeBron James. Look, I it doesn't matter whether he's whining about Trump or a supposed knee injury. It's okay with me. I don't care, because he's not really making that a display. He has enough false displays during the game when he's pretending to be hurt. Oh man, sorry, I had to just finish that thought.
Wait a minute, I said changing the show to golf, not basketball.
But Coach Pop, you know, I mean, look, very outspoken, very liberal, doesn't like Trump, and we get it. I still love the coach as a coach. I still love my Spurs and always will. Kaepernick, I don't care if he wants to, you know, put together a march in Havana, then that's fine. He can go do that, and he can have those protests. But Look at the games where the game is still purely the game. And we were talking about this in our pre-show meeting. ESPN has changed the tone of it. Yeah. Because what did we back in the day, in the heyday of ESPN, tune in for? You know, some of the kind of the smarmy jokes, but the coverage, and it was really unique coverage of professional sports. I'm not the biggest sports fan, but I loved watching ESPN because I got what they were trying to do. Their presentation, I thought, was really great. I thought they were really great at what they did. They still are it when they stick to sports, but they've changed the tone of the game. When you look at the games that are still pure, tune in to the game, to the actual competition, then you can look, I think, to NASCAR. Even NASCAR had some of their, you know, remember the some of the nonprofit things they were seeing. We were seeing during the transitional elements of NASCAR and everything else. You know, we support this and we support. And I'm thinking, you know, that's fine. It's great. You want to support nonprofits, but a certain message comes through. Golf and I think probably hockey, baseball to a certain extent.
Well,
is still pure.
My point is basketball's. Well, I won't say it's pure because I still think there's too much one on one in the NBA.
Yeah.
Some years it gets better, but they're still pure. You know, because it's about the game. It's about the game once the game, you know, starts. Once you're in the auditorium, it's about the game on the floor. Mm-hmm. Locker room comments may happen, whatever, but it's not in the midst of the actual game. My point on the whole golf thing was, if I tomorrow started saying, you know, we're just going to talk about golf on the show, well, in all likelihood, wonder if they could fire me with cause for that. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Because that's very important. If I said we're just going to talk golf, could I still collect on my contract?
Probably not.
Well, let's give Paul a call.
That's our
agent. And what does the contract say? But the fact is, the company could say, look, you got hired at a, you know, this is a news talk show. You know there's a news talk show. You're not on a country station. You're not on a sports station. You can't sit there and play country music all day on the show, and you can't talk about golf all day on the show because you know what the general format is, which is news talk. You're talking about the news of the day. Not that you can't talk about golf. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's Tiger Woods doing today? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you know that, you know, it's an understanding when you come in, even though it's not even written in the contract.
Right. Right.
I don't think it's in our contract where it says you are doing a current event news show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever had a boss over the 34 mm-hmm. years. I don't think I've ever had a boss tell me, hey, you know, this is the format. You must stick to this format. Now, they will tell me back in the day, don't play that album cut.
Right. But you know, going in.
You knew what the job was.
You know going in because you know what the station is, or you know what, you know why they're hiring you. Even if it's not written on paper, you know. And so if you deviate from that and it causes a problem, which what would the problem be? Ratings and then money.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, my point is, there is no free speech even in our job. We are here. Now, the best thing is, what you do is you find an organization that will let you do exactly what, hey, we want this. That's what I want to do.
Right.
And then, and good, that's a great mix together. Wow, okay, let's do it. And that's what we do here. And the vast majority of talk radio, the same thing. Those hosts go in because the companies say, we're looking somebody to do exactly what you do. Well,
right.
That's what I do.
Right.
So you're not compromising in any way, but you know going in what you're going to do. You can't have a golf guy come in and say, well, what do you mean you won't hire me? What do you mean I'm blacklisted?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because this is the image that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the image. And image is part of what you sell, irrespective of what you do. Image is very important. I don't even know. We'll have to look at the contract. I have had moral clauses in the past in contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Where that have completely and totally unrelated
until
to what
you worked with me. And then they said, well, what's the point?
Well, look, they're the overnight guys. Nothing good happens after midnight anyway.
Yeah.
So You know, to really give these guys a morals clause, does it really matter?
Yeah.
But the you know, I'm just not sure if I have one in one we've had for a long time. But the fact is, I always act as if there is a morals clause.
Yeah. I'm married. I have a
right.
morals clause.
You've got a morals clause already. Yes. Yeah, you agreed to it. But, you know, the morals clause is even outside of what you do on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you might do in your personal life that might give a bad image. And it's at the discretion of the people that employ you.
Right.
So this stuff isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no violation of my free speech rights for the company to say, look, do what you do and, you know, don't, you know. It's okay, Garrett, to talk golf once in a while. They've actually never told me that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to talk golf anyway, once in a while, but you can't do a whole show on golf.
Mm-hmm.
But they could do that if they wish to do that because they own the property.
Yeah.
They own the property.
And the president in this case on Twitter is has no more power than any other user on Twitter. End of story.
And it's
over anybody.
And it's Twitter's rules.
It is not a public forum.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It is a forum that is open to the public, but the rules are made by the owner of the forum.
So we'll get to more on the NFL, the Twitter decision from the federal court, which is not going to stand. The IRS says no to states who want to work around the Republicans' tax plan. Trump administration to look into automobile tariffs. The 30-year-old man who won't get out of his parents' house speaks. A new study, anxiety can make you better at your job. Mueller asks a federal judge for an indefinite delay in the Russian interfering with election trial. And a famous jazz artist says rap is more damaging than the Confederate statues. That more on the way, plus your calls and comments. If you want to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Carly, 866-90-RED-EYE. So now to the, you know, quickly to the Twitter thing after hitting the NFL stuff a little bit. Also, not a free speech issue. The government isn't punishing anybody.
Nope.
What I found interesting was a judge calling Twitter a public forum. It isn't.
No.
It may appear to be. That is maybe how they wish to market it to people, that it's a completely, totally public forum, but it is not.
It's a limited forum.
It is a limited forum. It is a private forum
mm-hmm.
run by a private company that has their rules and regulations that they have set up, which is equal across the board for anyone.
With limited and conditional access to anyone.
Yes. Any person can get on Twitter if they follow the rules and regulations and hit the president whenever they wish to hit the president.
If the president went on a rant and just, you know, over the top, and I'm not going to even use examples, it doesn't matter, but it violated the Twitter account rules, they could block the president. Twitter.
Yes, right.
866-90-RED-EYE for Cobra Electronics. Here's your forecast.
Unsettled weather continues in the south. Basically, we have a stationary front along the Tennessee Valley. That'll keep the moisture south of about I-20. From Mobile to Atlanta, we'll most likely see the heaviest showers today. So along I-10, then up to Atlanta on I-85, the heaviest of showers today. We'll really be looking for more intense showers as the week ends, with a tropical disturbance pushing moisture into the south. But continuing today's forecast, things will be clearing out somewhat as you move northward. Now, along coastal Carolina, you'll see those showers fairly heavy into Virginia Beach today. Then for the northeast, things begin to clear out until you get up into Maine. For the Midwest, it's a day of drying with some high pressure in place. There is a chance for some severe weather in North Dakota as a low pressure area there keeps things on the wet side. Inching our way to the weekend, your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
anytime, 24 hours a day. Say, Alexa, play Red Eye Radio, and we thank you.
And good morning. He's Eric. I'm Gary. Thanks for being here.
For telling Alexa what to do.
90 Red Eye. All right, you ready for this? I just want to, not that we're going to get into a conversation on this yet. I just got to make sure I get this audio cut in. We're just so busy today. I want to get this audio cut in.
All right.
From Michael Rotundo, the 30-year-old who won't move out of his parents' house.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Here he is on CNN.
Okay.
I just want, because I saw a lot of this on social media today, so I've got to play this. Here we go. Right.
There are a lot of people who have read about your story, and the thought bubble is, what is up with this millennial generation that you guys seem so entitled? What would you say to those critics?
I would say that I'm really not a member of that demographic that they're speaking to, of that group. I'm a very conservative person. The millennials that they're speaking to are very liberal.
So there you go. And all over social media. See, he's a conservative. He's a conservative. He's
no.
a conservative.
Saying that you're a conservative doesn't make you a conservative.
We've dealt with that many times on the air where, not lately, but we've dealt with it in the past where people call say, I'm much more conservative than you guys are. All right. And then the All person right. will start spouting absolute liberal ideology. And it's like, apparently you don't even know what makes a conservative.
Yeah.
You have no idea what the conservative ideology is. But that's okay. But the fact is, you like the label.
Yes, right.
And if at least if you like the label, maybe there's some hope for you.
Yes.
If you embrace the label, even if everything that you do in your life is opposite of it, that's at least a start. So we give him credit for that.
Yes.
Did you see him on TMZ?
No,
They asked him directly out. Do you think your parents are good people? No, my parents aren't good people.
Because people don't do this to people they love?
Yeah.
Really? Right. Did you just say that?
Oh, I'm telling you. All right. So just to get to the specifics of it, we covered it generally. NFL owners approved a new national anthem policy that requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance, but gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. The policy subjects teams to a fine if a player or any other team personnel do not show respect for the anthem. That includes any attempt to sit or kneel, as dozens of players have done during the past two seasons, to protest racial inequality and police brutality. Those teams will have the option to fine any team personnel, including players, for the infraction. Said Commissioner Roger Goodell, we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand, that's all personnel, and make sure they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something we think we owe, but we were very sensitive to give players choices. Goodell said the vote was unanimous among owners, although San Francisco 49ers owner Jed York said he abstained. York said that all owners that voted in the process supported the change. Now, the reason that he didn't, well, obviously, it's San Francisco.
Mm.
The policy will be part of the NFL's game operations manual and thus not subject to collective bargaining. The NFL Players Association said in a statement that it will review the policy and challenge any aspect that is inconsistent with the CBA, as any union should do.
Yeah.
If you have an agreement, and that's fine. Here's the point. Will they really fight it? We've said this before about the NFL Players Association. It's great to jump on the bandwagon of the social justice warriors. It's great to jump on the bandwagon and say on liberal causes. It's a whole different thing when the players that you represent, players that are just coming into the league or will be coming into the league over the next 4 years, are the ones that have to pay the price for what you advocated just a few years before they got into the league, which cost them money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee when it starts costing people money, people start looking and saying, well, wait a minute. Nobody's keeping you from protesting the way you want to protest outside of the game.
Right.
But this is a football game. And I may hold this political opinion. Look, I hold a heck of a lot of political opinions.
What?
Believe it or not, Eric and I both hold a variety of political opinions. If we somehow ended up, for example, for me, in the super double senior golf circuit,
mm-hmm.
I would abide by all the rules and regulations, even those of conduct that I must act in a certain way at any awards presentation or if the national anthem is played.
Are they serving alcohol at the awards?
You're going to always get alcohol on the course. I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to drink. I don't think you can smoke on camera anymore.
Hmm.
If you smoke, it can't be seen on a camera.
In golf.
Yeah. In general, yeah.
Remember, well, you can't smoke Letterman anywhere. Used to try and hide his cigar. Remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't know they ever did.
Back in the 70s, you sit there, you see a guy walking down walking down the fairway with a cigarette in his hand. That's when the debate got out. Well, wait a minute, is this really a sport? But in the 50s and 60s, maybe there's even a couple of photos in the 70s of some football players actually smoking on the bench.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Coaches smoking like freight trains.
Unanimous. We're not surprised by this. We always said, especially after the second year, when you saw that the ratings continued to go down. To the point of where I think it was right around 18%, wasn't it? Close to 18%.
Yeah, right.
Loss of television revenue, which is billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was being communicated to the players, do you understand what this means? We always said money is what will solve this problem eventually. Now, you may have a few players next year come out and challenge this, but the NFL had to do something. Will it bring it back to the forefront for a while? It may. But
yeah.
the one thing that they have done, though, is, and I think this is very important, is the NFL has said the teams, you need to handle it,
mm-hmm.
which means, look, the players have a choice.
Well, and I think that given the vote on this from the teams, I think this is preferable to them. Because
yes,
there might be some teams out there that say, okay, of course, they're not going to. Depending on the level or number of fines that they get, even a San Francisco is not going to be able to.
Well, no, but it moves it right into the locker room now.
Right. Well,
moves it to the coaches saying, look, you got a choice to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have this team to be together. And if you're going to do it, if you don't want to do it, then you stay in, protest wherever you want. It actually brings it into just not the useless rhetoric that was coming out of the locker rooms, which was we all need to stay together and we all understand and everything else. Now they've given you a choice. You can stay in. Or you can come out.
Yeah.
And if you come out, you have to stand. Of course, you don't have to stand if you don't come out.
Right.
So if players continue to wish to do that, then at that particular point, it becomes a team issue, which means it eventually becomes a coach-to-player issue.
Right.
And it becomes a team issue. I mean, the actual football team on the field, are we going to be unified to play football or what? What is our actual purpose? Is our purpose to promote our individual political opinions in the workplace, or is it to play football?
Right.
And it's to play football.
Yeah.
And the NFL, because we got a call the other day stating, well, you know, they shouldn't just have the national anthem at all. Well, they don't need to have the national anthem. Well, they don't need to have anything. They don't need to have cheerleaders. They don't need to have halftime activities. They don't need to have a scoreboard. They don't need to have commercials blaring at people during the timeouts in the stadium. They don't need to do a lot of things. but they wish to set up a certain image. And the other thing is, and it's very important that when you look at something like the NFL and Major League Sports in general, that and even college sports, they bring communities together. It's the one great thing of sports that the left wishes to destroy, and that is the fact that you can go and you can be a part of people with all different religions, beliefs, races, genders. It really doesn't matter. You're all there for a purpose to unite. Sports teams, I know it's only sports, but it would be intellectually dishonest not to state the impact that sports have on bringing communities together. And bringing communities together for what? When you're there and the Star Spangled Banner is playing and the jets fly overhead, what do the leftists believe? Well, you're endorsing the military-industrial complex. No, you're not. Well, maybe you are, but that's okay. But it's everybody's own meaning at that point that brings them all together. But most people, look, what binds us together, as we've always said? One of the things that you and I've talked about is the reason we're being torn apart is because we're not bound by the same laws and rules anymore. A significant number of people in this country don't believe in the Constitution. We've always been brought together by the Constitution. One of the reasons we're being split is there are people that don't believe in the Constitution anymore, and they say it. And so what brings us together in unity? The majority of the people in this country still believe in the Constitution. And so that's what brings us together. When we all feel that sense of community, when we all feel that sense of patriotism that isn't necessarily our day-to-day politics, what is it? It's under the general umbrella of the Constitution, the rules and regulations that we live under as a society that bind us together. Sports is part of bringing people together with that sense of community. The NFL has understood that for a long, long time and understood that's why, yeah, we play the national anthem. We salute members of the military, as I think all sports, I think, does now. But we don't get into the everyday-to-day politics. We celebrate what we have in common together, which is the country that we live under and the rules and regulations and the ideology that binds us all together in a general sense, not a specific day-to-day sense. And that's what the left gets wrong. The left wants to put in their day-to-day politics in everything. They want it to pervert anything and take away the purity of sports, take away the purity of entertainment, take away the purity of music. They wish to taint everything with their day-to-day politics. And the NFL has finally said, no, we're not. Now they may have some problems because of it, but that's in essence what they have done, in my humble opinion.
You know, and it's even if at the simple level, it's about long time fans of a team that's been in the same town forever.
Yeah.
You know, of we don't care. We don't care what your politics are or my politics are. We can come together on Sunday and all root for the team.
Yeah.
We can cry together when we lose, especially in Buffalo. We can cry a lot. We can cry even more. We can cry on Monday.
We can socialize together. It's part of what a civil society does.
And that's it's real simple. You come together for one cause. You root together. More than that, you celebrate that same cause.
Right. You can socialize. You can celebrate together. Left doesn't want that.
No.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up on the top of the hour. A lot of people getting aboard wanting to talk about the NFL's decision on the national anthem, and Eric and I are still a little bit disappointed that it wasn't the 15-yard penalty. We would have liked it.
Yeah, and the penalty box and, you know, some other ideas we came up with. It would have been fun.
Well, one of our great listeners came up with some of the best ones, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. They always do.
I did like the penalty box. But we knew it wasn't going to be, the 15-yard penalty, because then it would become part of the game. And then we wondered whether instant replay would be applicable for that.
Yes. Did the knee actually touch the ground?
But the players have a choice. If you come out to the field, you have to stand.
Yeah.
If you wish to stay inside, that's fine. But if you come out, you must stand. If not, the team will be fined, and then the team can fine the player.
Yep.
End of story.
That's it. And it's no longer part of the, again, presentation of the game. And you can still decide if you want to participate in that part of it or not.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour is sponsored by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
So the NFL owners have made their decision. I saw Michael Moore on Twitter yesterday just going ballistic. Free speech! Free speech! Free speech. Well, you know, all I got to say is this. You and I, a couple of years ago, when we saw the surveys and then came to the realization, and we brought it up a couple of weeks ago when another survey came out, another poll came out, that the majority of Americans have no idea what the three branches of government are. They couldn't name them.
Right.
And as we stated, if they can't name the three branches of government, they have no idea why we live in the society that we live in. They have no idea what the difference is between the United States and North Korea. And so now I understand when you have folks on the left come out and say, the United States is better than nobody else. I can understand that. You have no base mindset. You have no understanding of the political system in the United States versus other countries. So it is pretty sad that your very authoritative, confident opinion comes from complete ignorance. But it's, you know, so when you realize the majority of Americans don't even know why we live in this society, what makes us different than anybody else, I can understand. What's the saying when they always say American exceptionalism?
Yeah.
We're not more exceptional than anybody else. Of course you'd think that. You have no idea why somebody would even say that. Why? You have no idea the society that we live in. You have no understanding of the checks and balances. You have no idea of the separation of powers and why they exist and the philosophy and the mindset behind it. So we understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if the majority of people have no idea about the society that we live in, then it isn't too big of a leap to understand that a significant portion of people have no idea what the Constitution is about.
Yeah.
To the point where a significant portion of people have no idea what free speech is about. They have no idea what the First Amendment is about.
Free speech means I can say anything whenever I want, anywhere, at any time, and you cannot do anything about it.
Well, that isn't necessarily true.
Yeah. This whole thing on this Twitter decision by this judge, wrong. The president doesn't have any greater power on Twitter than any other user. It's that simple. There is no power given to him by Twitter that is not given to any other user. Influence is about people who follow him, but they follow him at will. It's that simple. The private forum that gives the public limited, restricted access is just that. It is not a true public forum, and the president blocking someone on Twitter does not stop them from issuing whatever opinion they want on Twitter. Only Twitter can do that. And Twitter has the right to do that if they want to block an account. They can restrict accounts if they want to. We talked about the whole thing with Facebook. Did everyone not know that Facebook was a liberal company and that they own the site and that, you know, they're going to put out whatever? It doesn't matter if it's Facebook, Google, Yahoo, or any of them. I mean, did we need Zuckerberg to sit up there in front of lawmakers? Did we need that no. dog and pony show
no,
to,
you and I
to know where yes. where they stand?
Mm-hmm.
No, we know, and we know because we do the work. We did the math. Very easy to figure out. It's not hard. And then people can judge. People can react. They can decide whether to be on Facebook or not. They can decide whether to engage or not. But the president being on Twitter, any president being on Twitter, to say that he cannot block anyone from making a comment or following him on Twitter, then at that point, you're saying, okay, then the American media, all of them, would have access and should have access. Anyone who requests it should have access to the White House press corps and be a part of it.
Right.
And that's not the case.
Free speech is not about unlimited access.
No.
Free speech is very simple. It protects political speech. It protects the government from punishing you mm-hmm. or from punishing you, in essence, for your free speech or stopping you from free speech, for example, in your own forums. Mm-hmm. If you have your own forum and you decide that you wish to have a meeting, for example, and you wish to promote the beliefs that you have a right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If the government shuts you down because of it, that's when your free speech rights are being violated. David French wrote in National Review, "Did Donald Trump create a forum, quote," and this was in the decision, "owned and controlled by the government," end of quote, when he decided to use his personal Twitter account for official purposes? The judge says yes. I disagree. In reality, the forum is owned entirely by Twitter.
Yes.
And it's controlled entirely by Twitter. For example, read these words from Twitter's terms of services. "We may suspend or terminate your account or cease providing you with all or part of the services at any time for any reason or no reason, including but not limited to, if we reasonably believe you have violated the terms or the Twitter rules, you create risk or possible legal exposure for us, your account should be removed due to prolonged inactivity, or our provision of the services to you is no longer commercially viable. We will make reasonable efforts to notify you by email associated with your account or the next time you attempt to access your account, depending on the circumstances. Using Twitter isn't like renting out a concert hall or reserving space in a public park. Twitter is in command, not Trump. And to the extent that Trump does anything on Twitter, he does so only with Twitter's permission."
That's what I said earlier.
They can
decide to restrict his account.
And so, as they say, "we may suspend or terminate your account or cease providing you with all or part of services at any time for any reason or no reason."
Mm-hmm.
We can simply say, "we don't like Eric."
Mm-hmm.
Or we can simply just say, "that's any reason." Or they can simply, your account can disappear and you can call them up and say, "why did my Twitter account disappear?" "I don't know, but you're off."
Mm-hmm.
"We don't have to give you a reason. You're done."
Yep.
So the fact
that includes
is
the president.
So the fact is, if it's a public forum, then Twitter can't do that.
Right.
Twitter cannot tell you that you can't go on for any reason. It is absolutely a private forum, and that's why that will be overturned.
Yep. Yeah, I think it'll be very easily overturned.
Well, because if it's a public forum, then Twitter cannot.
It is not owned by the people.
Right. Twitter cannot, if it is a public forum, as the judge says, which of course it's not. I mean, the judge is suspending reality. I say it's not. It's a public forum because I think it is. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. It is what it is. And what makes it is in the real world is Twitter's terms of service.
Right.
That's what makes, that's the real world to the judge out there, not the imaginary world that the judge believes is a public forum. Because if it is a public forum, then if Twitter refuses anybody an account, the government can, they can be then sued for violating somebody's free speech rights. And of course, they can't.
No. Absolutely cannot.
Because I can set up anything I want for just my friends, or my friends and my extended friends, or my friends, their extended friends, and their extended friends out there that go three deep. Four deep, I don't want. All of you people, are you're eliminated. Or you, I just don't like, I don't like your nose. And therefore, am I a nosist?
I think you're more of a four deepest.
Okay, I'm a four deepest. But you can do what you, it is. That's the whole thing of a private forum. Now, you can have a private forum of a billion people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? You control it. You own it.
Yep.
You can have 10 people. You can have a billion.
Well, it's, you could have
a private forum.
John Malone owns the most land in the U.S. He's the single largest private landowner in the U.S., 2.2 million acres. He could say tomorrow, or everyone could show up tomorrow on his land. And he could say for the first day, everybody gets to stay. We're all here for whatever it is. Concert, chat, coffee with a cop. Whatever it is. And then he could say tomorrow, everybody go home. Get off my land.
And everybody must except Michael Rotundo.
That's right. Because you'll have to sue to get him off.
He would have to, he would insist that he has a right to stay.
Yeah.
That's the 30-year-old kid who won't move out of his parents' house, for people who are wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, these it's pretty clear. The NFL thing is not a free speech thing. Michael Moore was all over that. Free speech, free speech. It's like, you really are clueless. I love the fact that Michael Moore has become unhinged, because it shows you, really, you notice he's not around anymore.
Well, no, because even the left doesn't support him at all, because, well, A, he really hasn't been influential, you know, at all. And I think the telling sign was, how many years ago was it when he was booed off the stage at one of the award shows? I think it was at the Oscars. He was actually booed off the stage by leftist Hollywood. That's when you know it's over.
What was he talking about?
I forget what it was.
That. Yeah, I remember.
He just went off in a rant, and then people started booing. Yeah. Yeah, totally irrelevant. And trying to stay relevant.
And I'm sure we'll hear some of the free speech, but there are no free speech issues on the Twitter thing. There is no free speech issue on the NFL. But again, I understand why people believe that there is, because mm-hmm. you have no basic understanding of the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
just like the majority of Americans have no basic understanding of our society. If they don't know the three branches of government, therefore they don't understand checks and balances. They don't understand the separation of powers. They don't understand the reason that we as a country exist. They don't understand the rules and regulations that we're under.
Right.
So it's understandable why people would be furious and say, well, there's no free speech and this country is the same as North Korea. When the evidence that you use to back up your argument is ignorance, of course, that's how you're going to believe. So we shouldn't be shocked
right.
or angry.
Right.
Because now you may sit there and if somebody's a friend who does that, you may be a little perturbed with them and say, look, you shouldn't speak from ignorance. But the fact is, when you speak from ignorance, it's easy to identify mm-hmm. and it's easy to tear apart. That's the easiest argument to tear apart is ignorance.
Well, and
it's the ones based on ignorance.
And I think it's also easy to know where you are and what setting you're in for all the people that had a problem with Facebook targeting, you know, conservative and trying to hold back conservative promotions or posts. We know who they are. You have to know where you are.
Right.
So, you know, it's
and we also know that if Zuckerberg, because of the business model he set up,
mm-hmm.
that it's a dangerous thing to do so, because mm-hmm. his number one goal is not to promote a liberal ideology.
Mm-hmm.
His number one goal and those that have stock in his company is to get as many people aboard so they can sell advertising to them.
Right.
So
sure.
You're riding that fine line, as
well,
any business does, you
can,
as your
you
own
can
political
decide that
your
we,
business model.
You know, like a restaurant can decide we don't want people with a Trump hat in here. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. You can decide that. Good luck.
So there you go. The Constitution, First Amendment, separation of powers. We've had a lot of discussion on that recently, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we have.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on inspections. To reduce downtime, roadside inspection violations, and potential crashes, check the condition of your vehicle and cargo while en route. Unsealed cargo and load securing devices must be examined within 50 miles of the start of the trip and periodically during the trip when a change of duty status is made, after 3 hours of driving, or after traveling 150 miles, whichever occurs first. Necessary adjustments should be made based on what you find. After any stop, before continuing your trip, you should walk around the rig to check tires and lights and look for signs of fluid leaks. If transporting hazmat, you're required to check each tire anytime the vehicle is parked. This tip brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us on jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's make it clear, though, that this decision by the federal judge, even though we think it will be overturned eventually, that it isn't actually an order for the president to do anything. The president can still block people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There is no injunction that stops him from doing it. It's
right.
simply an opinion that she said it's unconstitutional, which is really strange for a judge to begin with.
Well, it's odd because I'm guessing she knew that if she were to make that decision and order this, make an order based on that that decision, then she would be quickly overturned. The Justice Department saying we're looking at our next steps, but there's no appeal yet at this point. It would take another federal judge, I guess, using this other judge's opinion. It's not precedent. The problem is you can't use just an opinion as precedent.
Right, right.
It has to be, again, the judgment, the total judgment in the case.
You know, and that it even makes it worse
mm-hmm.
because it's almost that the judge is saying, well, I'm not going to do anything of substance, but I'm going to call it unconstitutional.
Right. Saying that the president and no other person in government is above the law. He didn't break any law.
Right.
There was no law broken here. So it's bizarre. The internet is going crazy over it. And of course, all the leftist websites are going crazy over it. But really, it has no effect on the president. His social media team can go in, and she even noted that they can go in and decide if they want to unblock it. You know, they have the power to do that. They don't need the president to do that. But I would say if you want to remain on his social media team, you probably should get his blessing. Just a suggestion.
Well, I'm sure he has a team that does that anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Blocks the worst ones.
Anyway. They're well, and so and that's just going to be the case with social media. You know, that's and so when you put that into the mix, everything that we spelled out here is that this is not a public forum, plain and simple. It's not. It is a website controlled by a company that allows people access, and they don't have to do that for anyone, including the president. They don't have to give him access. They can ban him if they want to. Twitter can. So, you know, and of course, again, like we pointed out, that would be a business decision. And if you want to do that, then you're going to, of course, you're going to rile up his base.
I would suggest they don't do that.
You probably shouldn't.
From a business point of view.
I would say anytime between now and November of 2020, that would be a bad idea.
Gary and Eric in the Octagon now, 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. The tough-tested power sled is on the road, a really cool truck, and it's customized by our friends at Four State Trucks there in Joplin, Missouri. Brian and all the crew there did a really great job on this, and a couple of friends of mine, George and Wendy Parker, are taking this truck on the road for our friends at Tough Tested. It's a really cool-looking Freightliner. You're going to want to see it. And also, you're going to want to see Pupzilla, the mini rat cart. This is really cool. This is this mini rat rod is really cool. That one was actually built by Charlie and Elmo Pacheco of Team Cutters. And so it's just a really cool display. You can check it out at Tough Tested's Facebook page. They'll tell you, they'll keep you updated as to where it's going to be. And we're going to be talking to George and Wendy Parker soon about their tour with Tough Tested. Really great truck.
All right, to you we go on the Twitter outrage. Okay. I'm gonna stop with the drama, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
The Twitter decision, and more importantly, people wanting to talk about the NFL decision on the national anthem and their new policy. Let's go to John in Virginia. John, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, John.
Good morning. When I heard about the news today, the thought occurred to me how they post the betting board even before the season begins on what the odds are of each NFL team's possibility of making it to the Super Bowl. How you can get a bet down even before the season begins. And I was wondering if they're going to do the same thing with this as to which team will be the first for all of them to stay in the locker room.
Well, now that gambling is going to spread,
yeah,
they're probably going to do it on every issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
And any issue that comes along.
I mean, they're willing to take a bet on anything. They'll work the odds out as to, you know, how that would go, right? I mean, the odds are higher of more players staying in the locker room in San Francisco, right? In a game in San Francisco. So would you bet against that? And what would be like the over under, right, on the number of players? Yeah, I'm sure.
Let us go to Dwayne in Pennsylvania. Dwayne, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very good. Good. We're having problems, awesome. But go ahead.
My opinion on the players not standing for the national anthem is, if you do not enjoy the freedoms and the liberties and the job that you had and that you have in this country and the opportunities that have given to you, I got one word for you, and that's move. Move somewhere else and enjoy what freedoms they're offering you, and just leave us patriotic people alone.
Well, again, and we've got lengthy discussions on this about, you know, what, you know, the substance of what Colin Kaepernick was, you know, when he started the entire or whatever it was, protest, and we broke it down and brought you why we believe that it was bogus when it came to the number of police stops in this country, when it came to the statistics of minorities pulled over versus others pulled over. If you look at it right now, what's the biggest problem right now? What we see almost every single week. We saw it again in Texas here, where police officers are being accused of doing something, and the body cameras were on. I did see an article this week saying maybe police have, from a leftist website, maybe police having body cameras are violating the rights of the people that they're stopping now.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, see, you wanted it, now you got it. Mm-hmm. Now you can't throw unwarranted charges at police officers anymore because they've got the body cameras on them. Mm-hmm. The one in Texas where the woman accused the state trooper,
right,
of assaulting her sexually,
right,
after pulling her over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is in Ellis County.
Ellis, right near me.
And you had
right.
a Texas Highway Patrol trooper. And so they, you know, the charges came out, or the allegations came out against the trooper, saying that there was some sort of sexual assault during that stop. Well, here's the body cam.
Here's the 2 hours of the body cam, mm-hmm, from the initial stop,
yep,
all the way to the police station and doing the actual blood alcohol test,
which would be basically the beginning of, if you talk about the process of the suspicion that the trooper has, then pulling someone over, and then processing that person all the way through. That's about 2 hours long. It's mm-hmm. I'm in fact looking at it right now on YouTube. It doesn't leave any. There are no questions there that can't be answered in terms of any allegation of sexual assault against that trooper.
Well, you know it's bad when the person who files a charge, you know, the charge against the police officer in this case, when their attorney apologizes to the police for what right. his client has done.
Right.
You know that you have the evidence without question. You know, look, we talked about where this went to with, I've got a mind blank here. The other player on the other player that was playing for Seattle that and I just can't think, it was Bennett when we started last year,
the nightclub incident
mm-hmm. where he claimed that the cops, you know, racially profiled him by pulling him over and chasing him, and when you actually saw the cameras of what happened, you realize that he lied about the incident about Las Vegas police. Well, remember, the protests, they were re-energized last year of kneeling before the national anthem because of his lies about the Las Vegas police.
Mm-hmm.
And even the NFL didn't punish him for it. Well, you know, we don't punish for that. He lied. I mean, he absolutely lied until the Las Vegas police came out with not only, you know, the body cams of the officers talking to him and saying, "What are you doing? We had reports of an active shooter in here. We told everybody to get down. You get down. You got up and ran." At that point, you're a suspect as being the active shooter. Mm-hmm. They were telling him, explaining it to him, and he seemed to understand it. He said, "Well, you know, I play football," and they actually looked on their phones. They said, "Okay, I got it. Yeah, it's him."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, totally cordial and everything else, and he threw out this whole thing that he was a victim and all that. And to the last caller, look, this isn't about, and we understand that people are, you know, that people say, look, we live in a great country, and if you can't stand for the national anthem, get out. That opinion we are well aware of, mm-hmm, and understand that completely when you see the things that we have in this country, the freedoms and liberties that we still have, and people that just don't get it. As we've stated before, much of it is based on ignorance. Sometimes that ignorance, though, isn't just is willful ignorance, as we have said before. But the whole point is, you have a right to protest, and nobody is saying that. Nobody on the conservative side. Nobody. Nobody is stating that Colin Kaepernick can't get out there at any rally and throw out and talk about his love for Cuba and the communist system and how much fairer it is and the good things that go on when you are educated in a communist society. and he can wear his pig socks, and he can do all of that in the United States. And nobody, and not one conservative, is stating that he can't do that. What they're stating is, there are certain places you can't do that. One of those is at work.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else understands right now, you can't do that at work.
Nope. Nope. You've got the right to go to any place you want to or say anything you want to in an interview, which has been done over the years countless times. Great. You know, travel down to Havana. You know, take people with you. And tell everyone we need to be more like Cuba.
Right.
Great. If that's what you want to promote, I have no problem. Here's my question. When you're playing football, would you get out there and play football? Because the display, that's not what people want to see. Now, what you could do is have a rally based on your protests, your cause, whatever it is, and see if the media will show up. They might. You'll get free publicity and promotion of your cause, and you can decide what you're going to say, and no one can stop you from saying it at that rally if you have a right to be in that spot.
Well, I look at it, and I see the number of people that unfortunately don't understand that body cameras and the internet exist now.
Well, we were having that discussion in our pre-show meeting. I really don't know why people insist on, you know, countering that. And this is the one thing with the Ellis County situation in Texas. If you were her lawyer, the woman who was alleging that there was sexual assault during this DWI stop in Texas, if I were the lawyer, I'd say, okay, before we go public or allow you to issue a statement here, we need to wait and see if there's a body cam so we can look at this, and then we can use that body cam. We can request that body cam footage and use it as evidence to prove your case without a doubt, right? Then we'd have a really right. good case, and we can move forward with justice here. But instead, you have your client jumping out and making this allegation against this trooper, and you're having to apologize.
Well, you've had a bunch of these allegations come up recently, it seems like, in the last couple of weeks. Every time I turn around, there's another incident happening where somebody's accusing a cop of doing something, and the cop has the body cam on. It's mm-hmm. like, well, no, they didn't do that.
Right.
So, and I guess my point would be on this. So an NFL player should be able to go and kneel before the national anthem because it's a disgrace what's going on to our law enforcement, and this is the only way to protest, or I'm going to find a way to protest on the field because I think it's unfair. No, you can't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that on your own time, but you can't do that on somebody else's time. I don't know. It's almost as if the left, you could say this, we could talk about this. I could sit there and be talking to somebody from the left for an hour on this, and they'd still sit there and say, it's a free speech issue.
Right.
It wouldn't make any difference to them. It goes in one ear, out the other. Ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You know, it really is. There is a comfort zone in people being, I think, they find a comfort zone in being ignorant. I'm going to have this opinion. I can't back it up. I'm going to stick with it no matter what. And that's, you know, that's what's happening here. By the way, in this, the one in Ellis County in Texas, the state trooper, Sean King from Black Lives Matter, jumped all over it. It was so bad after the two-hour body cam was released that he even apologized.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see anything that was outside of what you would expect from an officer and the actions of any trooper or officer on the side of a road during a situation like that.
Totally professional.
Mm-hmm. Nothing out of the ordinary at all.
And the accusations got quite specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, of the alleged sexual assault, which never happened.
Right.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's go to Steven in San Diego. Steven, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Kind of a long time listener. I like listening to you guys whenever I go home from work. So
thanks.
Thank you. No worries. I just actually want to kind of make a point. I noticed how you guys are always talking about the NFL and, you know, how it always comes out, people or players kneeling and all that stuff. But it's kind of funny on how no other franchise actually has that issue. Not franchise, but sports, like baseball, hockey, even NASCAR.
Yeah.
You notice that none of their players, none of their teams have these issues.
Well, remember in baseball, you had a few players who did. In baseball, I think you had a couple on the Athletics, I believe, who it is. Let me just do a quick search. Yeah, there it is. Major League Baseball player who knelt during the national anthem denied service at an Alabama restaurant. So, yeah, I mean, there were a couple of the Oakland A's players that I know. Okay. I did remember that. In the NBA, they have a rule. You can't. I mean, they have a policy that you can't in the NBA. That's why nobody kneels there. I believe the National Hockey League, I believe they also have rules that you stand for any national anthem. But then again, remember, in hockey, a lot of the times, you're standing for both the Canadian and the American national anthem. And when you play in international hockey, as most of these players do, you're standing for everybody's anthem. It's more of the culture of the, I think, the international scope of that game also, where it just becomes part of the culture. You stand for all of it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Hurley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley. Thanks for being here this morning.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. We know that you don't have to be.
No, you don't.
We know there are options like listening to nothing.
turning off the radio and getting some sleep.
Yes. Please don't. And we're glad that you don't.
Famous jazz artist Wynton Marsalis didn't hold back during a news interview.
Yeah.
He's a great on the trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
In which he discussed the impact rap music has had on the black community. He believes that hip-hop is more damaging to African Americans than statues of Confederate leaders. In an interview with journalist Jonathan Capehart, Marsalis shared he's never been fond of the vulgarity some rappers spew on the microphone. My words are not that powerful. I started saying in 1985, I don't think we should have music talking about the N-word and the B-word and the H-word. It had no impact. I've said it. I've repeated it. I still repeat it. To me, it's more damaging than a statue of Robert E. Lee. I feel that it's much more of a racial issue than taking Robert E. Lee's statue down. There's more N-words in that than there is in Robert E. Lee's statues. He went on to say it's just like the toll the minstrel show took on black folks and on white folks. Now it's all N-word this, B that, H that. That's just a fact at this point. So there you go.
Yeah.
In other news out there. Apparently, the IRS, remember that New York and California were looking for that whole workaround around the $10,000 cap on property taxes, where you could have charitable contributions, which will then go into a trust and blah, blah, blah for this. And we said, sorry, you're not going to be able to do it. The IRS is going to say, The IRS has come out and said, can't do it.
Yeah, right.
On Wednesday, the Treasury Department put out a notice that informs taxpayers that the Internal Revenue Service intends to enforce regulations on the tax treatment of certain payments made by taxpayers that count as a credit against state and local taxes.
Right.
The reference is to the schemes cooked up by innovative minds in places such as the California State Legislature. Democrats are trying to set up a California Excellence Fund so the taxpayers can claim donations to the fund as a credit against their state tax liability.
Mm-hmm.
This is intended as a workaround for the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions in the new tax reform. Before reform, six states claimed more than half of the deductions benefits, which cost about $100 billion a year. New York and California alone ranked in about a third of the cost due to their punishing rates on high earners, 13.3% in California. Treasury says the rules will make clear that the requirements of the Internal Revenue Code, informed by substance over form principles, govern the federal income tax treatment of such transfers.
Yeah.
So there you go. That idea is now gone. We said it at the time. That wasn't going to happen. We said, states, do what you wish to do, but you're not going to be able to have that pass around.
Right.
And just so you know, because whenever we talk about it, people should know that under the tax plan, Eric and I, our taxes went up.
What?
So just just so people know.
I forgot about that.
Whenever we talk about it, people, well, you guys are happy because... No, our taxes under the Republican tax plan went up. We lost deductions that will increase our taxes each and every year, just so you know. It's important because when you talk, well, because you guys benefit the top. We didn't benefit.
We never benefit.
Because the problem with this country was Gary and Eric weren't paying enough in taxes.
I think the problem is those stupid Republicans who decide that they're going to change the tax thing. Morons. And I mean that in the most respectful way.
We're not angry.
With all due respect.
We're not
those
angry.
Those idiots.
We're not angry at all.
No.
There's no anger at all.
That's right.
No, it's just important when we talk about it because that's the first thing people hit us on is that, well, it's because you people like you benefit. We didn't benefit. We pay more.
Not that anybody cares.
I don't care.
Clearly, the Republicans don't care.
I don't care. I don't care if they care. I care.
I quit caring a long time ago.
Well, it's just going to make it so you and I aren't as productive. They increased our taxes.
Yeah.
We have decided we will be less productive. And a lot of you are questioning, how is that possible?
I don't know how it is. I don't know that you get any lower in terms of productivity.
Come on, guys. Really? Seriously?
Ah.
And these are people that actually abide by that concept that if you punish people, they do become less productive. Many people look at us though, as the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
In other news out there, because it was a really interesting, it was a great news day yesterday. It really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller asked a federal judge Tuesday to reject the four-decade-old speedy trial law in the case against 13 Russians and three Russian companies, and has asked for an indefinite delay to the Russian collusion trial. It is the second time. By the way, I want to can I very quickly mention this here?
Okay.
And I'm reading this from the Daily Caller. Hmm. They're calling it the Russian collusion trial.
Right.
I caught that in our pre-show meeting and said, no. And I just said it there. I admit it because I just read it. And I caught myself saying it again. But I actually wrote down Russian interference, Russian election interference. Because Russian collusion is the term that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians.
Right.
Now,
there were no Americans in this.
No Americans were involved in colluding. The only reason you can justify using that, because we're always looking for fake news. Oh, in fact, we have a little bit coming up here from Chris Cuomo. Audio cut. But the only reason you could justify it is the Russian collusion investigation, even though this trial is not about Russian collusion with anybody in the United States. It may be the Russians broke laws, but they weren't colluding with anybody in America to do so in this case,
right,
in this trial.
Right.
So I want to make that clear, because everybody keeps calling it the Russian collusion trial. Well, what do you mean there's no evidence of Russian collusion? What about the trial going on? No, that's under the investigation of Russian collusion. But there has been no evidence of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russians to change the outcome of the election.
Right. Delayed indefinitely. That's the request.
Yes, it is the second time Mueller tried to delay the trial. The first time the judge rejected the earlier request without comment in order for the case to go forward. One of the Russian companies, Concord Management and Consulting, entered the U.S., hired American lawyers, and demanded a speedy trial. The Speedy Trial Act is a 44-year-old federal law that dictates that a federal criminal case must begin within 70 days of the date of indictment.
Yeah, they have a right to a speedy trial.
Mueller argued in Tuesday's court filing, the complexity of the case warrants excluding the speedy trial law and delaying the trial. I guess the question, if I were a judge, would be, well, then why did you
indict?
Yeah. Why did you indict if you knew you couldn't fulfill the rule? They weren't in the United States to begin with. There was no chance of flight.
This is further proof that to my theory, I think, or at least it's further support of the theory, that he didn't expect them to respond to the summons. He didn't expect them to respond. He indicted them thinking they would not come back from Russia, and that certainly, most certainly, there would not be an American law firm out of Pennsylvania respond in court.
Because you can say everything. He said, for example, the complexity of the case warrants excluding a speedy trial and delaying the trial. This case also warrants a continuance and exclusion of time to accommodate the volume of discovery at issue and to allow sufficient time for the court to resolve certain outstanding procedural unique to discovery in the case, Mueller said. Here's my point. You can say all the gobbledygook that you want. What you're saying is you're not ready to go to
trial. You're not ready. And why would you indict if you weren't ready to bring it to trial? You indicted 13 people.
Right. And three different companies.
You weren't ready? You don't have the evidence? What is discovery? Discovery is very simple. What you're saying is you never intended to hand them over. You never considered for a moment that they would show up, in fact, with American attorneys in court. That's actual, I think, that's getting pretty close to the proof of my theory, because that's exactly what he's saying. Well, I didn't know they were actually going to show up with lawyers and ask for discovery on this.
Former federal prosecutor and National Review contributing editor Andrew McCarthy, I'm reading this from the Daily Caller, Richard Pollack's column, told the Daily Caller that it's too late for Mueller to claim that the complexity of the case warranted a delay.
Right.
Speedy trial rights belong to the defendant.
Yep.
And if the defendant pushes for a trial within 70 days, the government has little cause to complain. If the case was too complex, the government had the option of holding off on seeking an indictment until it was ready to proceed
to
trial.
That's right. You did, or at the very least, you know, serving them, which is the, you know, that really is the effect of the indictment. You didn't have to put this into motion. Put your case together and assume that their attorneys are going to show up the day that you indict them.
When a prosecutor files an indictment, it is tantamount to saying, we're ready to go.
That's right.
Is what McCarthy said. McCarthy called the indictment more theater than prosecution. On May 9th, a partner with Reed Smith, Eric Dublilier, a prestigious American law firm that represents Concord, entered a not guilty plea in the U.S. District Court of the District of Columbia. He also repeated his client's interest for a speedy trial. He also has repeatedly notified the court he would insist on using discovery to review the evidence the special counsel had accumulated about their charge of Russian collusion. His use of discovery would compel Mueller to turn over the U.S. intelligence about Russian activities. In response, Mueller informed the court on May 16th his office was prepared to enter 2 terabytes of Russian social media into the record, thereby flooding the docket with a huge amount of evidence, all of it in Russian. The volume could fill 3,000 CD-ROM disks. It's inappropriate for the prosecutor to manufacture complexity and then contend that things are too complex, McCarthy told the Daily Caller. If a prosecutor is disclosing mountains of foreign language materials without an understanding or explanation of their relevance to the case, that is a delaying tactic and an attempt to chew up the defendant's resources. The tactic is apt to make the presiding judge very angry, he added. Well, that's the entire point. Was filing this, if you're not ready to go to trial on it, if you're not ready to go to trial, when you say, you know what the law is, you know you have 70 days to do it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not, if you're claiming you want an indefinite delay, then you weren't ready to file that indictment,
right,
which means why did you do it? What would be the motive to file it? Well, really, I've got nothing. Let's file it against 13 Russians. We've got the public relations. Odds are they're not going to come back. They won't have lawyers.
That's right.
And people will believe that we're doing something.
Exactly.
If you're looking for a possible motive, what would be a greater motive than a special counsel who is saying we really haven't had any success? We need to sit there and get the public on our side. If we indict 13 Russians and we indict these companies, then they're not going to respond, and therefore we've got something that we can put out that this is, you know, this is a direction that we're going.
Well, in this whole bogus notion of the complexities of discovery, they don't change. Your evidence for indictment did not change and won't change. And what they get to see in discovery does not change, regardless of whether we wait 100 years or one day. It doesn't matter. You indicted based on this evidence. That is the discovery. They will get to see that. You don't get to keep that from them, regardless of how long you put this off, Mr. Mueller. And you know that. You never intended for them to respond. You did this as a political statement, nothing more, nothing less.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Hey, I'm going to post something on our Facebook page and tweet this out here in just a little bit. It's just really interesting because it's from a former CBS investigative reporter, Cheryl Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because she gives you the she gives you a couple of timelines. She starts out by being fair. She goes, it's easy to find timelines that detail Trump-Russia collusion developments. And she gives you two places to find that.
Huh.
And she said, on the other side, the evidence has emerged in the past year that makes it clear that there were organized efforts to collude against candidate Donald Trump and then against President Trump. And so she started a timeline on collusion against Trump, a collusion against Trump timeline.
Oh,
just so folks can see it, our listeners can see it.
All right,
and Cheryl Atkinson, formerly of CBS, has a lot of credibility.
Yeah,
you know, she has broken a lot of stories. You know, she has accused the Obama administration of hacking into, and she still has current lawsuits that are active against the federal government for what she says was the federal government hacking into her server.
Right.
And, you know, she is, like I said, she's been a CBS investigative reporter for a long time and has a lot of credibility, I believe.
Yeah, right. I think she does the honest work. You can tell when someone is looking into something and presenting facts, and you can tell when it's some kind of political motivation. You know, a lot of people have accused her of being on the right. I think it's somebody who just wanted to tell an honest story and felt like she couldn't, and now is doing that on her own. You know, that's a sad time in American history when a journalist feels like, I just want to do the work. I just want to do the work and tell the story and tell the truth. and I can't do that.
Well, we've talked about Bernard Goldberg, and that's, you know, he said that for the longest time that, you know, I believe in doing journalism, and here's what journalism is, and now he is considered a right-winger.
Right.
Because he believes in journalistic practices. But it's important to note that's because journalism has changed from journalism to activism.
Right. And that's the way that it's journalism. Expected to be handled by those who run the companies.
And that's our...
Remember Sinclair and everybody making fun of that? That, you know, well, hold on a second. All they were saying is, we just want to do the story without any kind of political lean.
Right. And that was viewed as improper.
Yes.
That, like I said, that's how bad it's gotten.
Yep. For VDO Roadlog, here is your forecast.
Unsettled weather continues in the south. Basically, we have a stationary front along the Tennessee Valley. That'll keep the moisture south of about I-20. From Mobile to Atlanta, we'll most likely see the heaviest showers today. So along I-10, then up to Atlanta on I-85, the heaviest of showers today. We'll really be looking for more intense showers as the week ends, with a tropical disturbance pushing moisture into the south. But continuing today's forecast, things will be clearing out somewhat as you move northward. Now, along coastal Carolina, you'll see those showers fairly heavy into Virginia Beach today. Then for the northeast, things begin to clear out until you get up into Maine. For the Midwest, it's a day of drying with some high pressure in place. There is a chance for some severe weather in North Dakota as a low pressure area there keeps things on the wet side. Inching our way to the weekend, your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Undeniably irrefutable, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Hi, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Coming up here, we've got some good audio that you will want to hear, but let's get back to your calls and comments. Folks wanting to talk about the NFL with their new no kneel if you're on the field policy. In case you haven't heard it, the NFL owners, all of them voting, all those that voted unanimously. The San Francisco 49ers owner abstained. We don't know why, but it was unanimous with the other owners to have a new policy that when the players, if they come out on the field, that they must stand for the national anthem. If they wish to stay in the locker room, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Me being a Bills fan, hopes that when they show up on the field, when they finally come out, they're actually ready to play football. That would be one of our concerns, because over the last, you know, 50 years, that's been my biggest problem. But if you come out on the field, you must stand and must show respect for the national anthem. If you do not, the team will be fined by the NFL, and then the team can take whatever action they wish to take against the player, fining the player, or, you know, whatever discipline that they wish to enact. So, of course, cries of denying free speech are out there, but really falling, I would say, on deaf ears, because you can't make that point. Anybody who knows anything about free speech, that came out from the very beginning. This has nothing to do with free speech.
Nope.
Nothing. Let's go to Kevin in Dallas. Kevin, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Kevin, Black Conservative, Dallas. I have two topics, and I'll try and be brief as possible.
Okay.
Number one, taking a knee is an act of theater, political theater. It's just these guys putting on a show for the consumption of their peers, and when their peers aren't looking, they don't care. I know NFL players in my job, okay, I know NFL players, and all I ever see them do is 24/7 recreation, you know, good times all the time. And it's even more extreme now that there's the internet, and they don't even fix their own meals. They have every meal delivered to them from Favor, Grubhub, Uber Eats all day long. And then when they're done with that, then they're on their dating apps, Tinder and Snapchat, and you know, they're basically
Kevin, but with all due respect, what they decide to do in their private life has nothing to do with this particular issue, except you're trying to make the point that's not lost on me. Right.
I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying that the things that they're doing are the things that they care about. And they do not they could be involved in mentorship in the inner city and providing father figures and guidance to young, you know, wayward young people, and they could be getting involved in all that stuff. They certainly have the resources, but they're not. They don't do any of that. They have no commitment to the things that they're out there protesting to. It's only about virtue signaling, and I find that to be, you know, offensive, because they are causing a lot of turmoil for a lot of people, and yet when they're, you know, away from the spotlight, they have no commitment to the value system that they say that they say is so important. And so to me, it's just typical liberalism. These people all wear facades all the time, because it's all about groupthink and group identity and peer approval and you know, wearing masks and looking a certain way to other people, because they're arrested adolescents for the most part, and they're very high school, high school like, even as adults. And I just think it's silly.
Yeah, and look, go ahead. Make your other point. Go ahead.
Okay, the other thing I was going to get to is, it's something that Mark Levin was talking about a few days ago, and I did a little bit of my own research, and that is that everybody's looking for a second special prosecutor, and there's actually an alternative that the president could do to that, which is that he could form a presidential commission, and he could name U.S. attorneys to that commission, and he could name former FBI agents to that commission, and then that commission could investigate, say, Spygate or Hillary email or Uranium One, and they could then issue criminal referrals to an applicable jurisdiction, and then the jurisdiction could act. And then that's a way, he's the sole authority with that. He doesn't have to go crawling to the Justice Department or to the FBI and get permission or get their cooperation. He could just form a commission tomorrow and say, you know, I'm going to have Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tunsing head up this commission. I'm not saying he would use them, but just as an example.
Right, and that would be because if he used both of those, it would be viewed as a completely and totally biased investigation on the other side.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That would be the accusation. Because of time limitations, you know, the president has always had a lot of options he can do. It's whether he's going to do them or not. So we're talking in hypotheticals here, and that's fine for a discussion, and we'll see what he does end up doing. On your other thing about the NFL players, the one thing you're doing wrong, Kevin, is you're labeling, you're throwing all NFL players into one box, and you can't make that charge. Akron Baldwin, for example, his cousin was killed by a police officer. Mm-hmm. The police officer was charged with murder. Mm-hmm. What he is doing, again, I haven't followed him point by point on it, but he has a legit case about police brutality, but he hasn't acted, for example, like a Colin Kaepernick or a Michael Bennett. And so when you lump all players in, you're going to get, as you were doing, well, these players, well, they're going to find the exception to the rule, and then you get burned. Then you lose your credibility. As we do on this show, we go player by player by player. We look at the two major players involved in it that really created the most hype, and they were Colin Kaepernick, and we have judged him by the things that he has actually done and said. We have taken the totality, not just parts of it, but the totality of what Colin Kaepernick has promoted, which is why we bring up the communist philosophy, his apparent love of Cuba, him being challenged by a United States Cuban Miami sports reporter a couple of years back and taken to task for him for his promotion of communism. Colin Kaepernick, because he has spoken up, and Kaepernick has done some things in the community, some things people look at and say are positive, but his entire message as a whole is a false message, and we have brought that to you. The other one is Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett really became the poster child last year after he claimed that the Las Vegas police racially profiled him and treated him terribly in an incident in Las Vegas. And the protest last year, that was really the catalyst of the protest last year. Michael Bennett lied about the Las Vegas police. He lied. Why? Body cams and the cameras inside of the casino. And when you saw, again, the totality of what he did, you realized he was a liar. He lied about the police, and that wasn't brought up. And you had players that were kneeling to defend Michael Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing in these things, you've got to be specific. Because when you generalize, look, a player can go out and have all the meals delivered to him and be the greatest ball player and be the greatest humanitarian. So when you make general assumptions like that, we found out from debating and doing talk radio for a long time, that gets you into deep trouble. Focus in on the people that are actually involved. Focus in on the leaders of the organizations and what they actually do. Study them as individuals and study the substance or the lack of substance of what they bring to the table.
On each argument, on each level of each argument, because those situations that they claim are, again, in the case of Las Vegas, you could easily prove that. You could prove that. It goes back to that question we had earlier. Why is it they think that there are no cameras in the world? Do they understand that there are cameras everywhere, especially if you're going to be somewhere in a casino, in a nightclub? There are cameras everywhere that can disprove that situation. And with the police, dash cams, body cams, do you forget that part? The truth will often find its way, whether it's a matter of an investigation, as was the case with Michael Brown, and the family ordered the first autopsy was one done by the family, which disproved the whole hands up, don't shoot thing.
Which is still being used today.
And it was the Justice Department, led by then Eric Holder, that found that the community, there was pressure on the community not to talk about that to the police officers, but to continue that narrative. Well, you couldn't tell the truth. That's the investigation that Obama's Justice Department found. That's what they found there. Now, we can talk about the emails that were shared and the racist comments and some of the jokes of the emails that were shared in the Ferguson Police Department or any of that stuff, and we're not saying that's right. The chief should take the hit on that. The chief should be gone if you're not going to control that kind of behavior within your own department. But that's far from illegally taking the life of a suspect.
And how do you solve the problems? You go through due process and you demand due process in every case. And, you know, people want more transparency. Well, now we're getting the transparency with the cameras. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing, because of the transparency of the body cameras, as I told you last week, I saw, and I got to find the article for you, where the liberal publication was stating that, well, maybe the body cams on the cops are violating the rights of potential suspects out there, which I found now interesting. It's like, yeah, but you were screaming for it, but we have seen how body cams have actually helped defend cops from accusations of severe wrongdoing. Just the last, I mean, how many have there been just in the last month?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like every time I turn around, there's another one. And I started thinking, don't people realize they've got body cams on now? You're not going to be able to get away with this?
Right. Look, if you've got a legitimate claim, then by all means, if you have to hire the lawyer or if you just have to go to the media or whatever it is, if there's an injustice, then justice should be served. But if you're out to get someone because you're not happy that you got arrested, you were apprehended, be careful, because the truth will find its way.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Clark in Goodyear, Arizona. Clark, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I had to comment on the body cams due to this recent situation in Milwaukee with this NBA basketball player that was blocking two handicapped spaces while he was in the store. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the way I've seen it, this guy didn't comply with the police. I thought they were real calm until they told him to get his hands out of his pockets, and he refused to comply with that, and they tased him. Now this guy's suing the cops, but the worst part of it is the interpretation by his own chief of police and the mayor that the police were at fault, and the NBA player.
Again, I don't know of that case. And I haven't seen
it.
But now you're talking about. If let's just take it on the surface for, you know, everything being accurate and true, Clark, that's what a police chief or a mayor does is often very political and not based in reality. Just keep that in mind. So,
When you guys see that, I'd like you to comment on that. You'll probably see it in the next day or two.
Well, sure, but
it's just
but the point is that in the world where there are cameras everywhere, there may not be justice in a situation necessarily, but the truth will definitely be out there. You know, the pursuit of justice is something very different. And thank you. We're
thank
out of time.
Thank you, Mulder.
Yeah, but the truth will be because if you put those videos out there, the people can decide on the truth. Whether that is ever brought to justice or not is determined by other people.
Nothing is 100%, and we never expected it to be 100%.
Exactly.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.